Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Community of Grace at Tony and Frank's house today.
Yay!
And so, if you didn't tune in during the Bible study time, and you're looking at the background and going, where are we? We took this on the road, and so we're broadcasting from Tony and Frank's house today. And so if you would like to have us come and do this at your house, give us a call, and just call the church and say, hey, I would like to have the recording done at my house. And so just call 783-8062, area code 510, and just let us know, and we will set that up with you. You just need to make sure that you get good cell reception, because we need that. So let me just make a couple other announcements here real quick before I get into the word here. First of all, is that you can also listen to this. The audio version will be on our webpage in a little while, along with the Bible study that we just had. And you can, the webpage is www.icgrace.org. And if you go to the media page, when you go on the main page, just go to the media page, and it'll take you to where you can click onto the Bible study, you can click on the message. You can also get worship off of it also. And so you can really can do the whole Sunday morning experience off the webpage. We kind of planned it that way. So and also, you can also listen, you know, on Facebook Live. And if you're watching me right now, you're on Facebook Live already. But for those of you that maybe are listening to the audio later, and you say, "Oh, I want to get on Facebook Live and watch it in the future," it's Facebook Live at Cog Family Community. And so, those are the ways that you can either listen to this or watch and listen to this. Also, on our webpage, which is our email list is our COG list, our COG list. You can get the questions for the Bible study. You can also get the questions that I'll be asking you at the end of the message for you to reflect on later. And so all those things are available for you. Also, I just want to thank all of you who've been giving, who've been faithful in your giving. Thank you for that. Thank you for your faithfulness. The thing about it is with giving is that giving really helps you. Because in a time like this, where we really need faith, giving helps grow your faith. As you step out and trust God with your finances, it grows your faith as He meets you in your giving. And so thank you for your giving. And the ways that you can give is you can go to our webpage and you can give off the webpage. But also you can mail your giving in also. So with that, let me pray, and we will get into the word here. So, Father, I just thank you for our time today. Lord, I just thank you for your word and what it says. God, I just thank you that in the midst of all the chaos and the craziness that is going on in the world, Lord, I just thank you that you are the same. You're the same today. You're the same God as you were yesterday, and the same God that you will be tomorrow, the same God as you are forever. You are consistent, and you do not change. You are the only constant in a world that is constantly changing right now. And I thank you for the stability that brings and the stability that you bring into our lives. Father, we just give you glory and we just give you honor. Lord, just be with us in our time now. Lord, I just pray that the things that are said, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts and minds in what you have for each of us individually. And I just pray all of this in Jesus' name. Lord, I also pray a special blessing on Frank and Tony for opening their home to us today. Lord, just bless them also. And we just pray all this in your name. Amen. So last week, we talked about one of the judges in the Old Testament from the book of Judges. We talked about Jephthah. And Jephthah was the son of a prostitute. And because he was the son of a prostitute, this caused his own people to reject him. But when they were facing trouble from the Ammonites, they ran to Jephthah, the man that they rejected, to help them. Now, they ran to Jephthah because Jephthah was a valiant man. And they looked to him to lead them to victory, which he did, as well as he would eventually end up ruling them also. And so we looked at him because he was judged by his own people because of who his mother was. You know, he was the son of a prostitute. We looked at him because he was valiant. And even though he hung out with worthless men, as it said, when he was rejected by his own people, he left them, and it says that he hung out with worthless people. But even though he hung out with worthless people, after he was ostracized by his own people, he was still valiant. The people he hung out with did not change his character. And then we looked at him because in spite of the problems that he had to contend with, he remained focused. He remained valiant regardless of those around him. And these are things for us to remember in a challenging time like we're in right now, in a confusing time that we're in right now. It's important to remember these things so that we remain true to who we are. That we stay focused and not let all that is going on in our world change us, but that we remain who we are. We retain our integrity and we hold on to our identity as children of God. So today I want to look more at Jephthah, but I want to focus today on his making of his vow. You know, he made a vow. We looked at this last week. He made a vow to give up his daughter. And so we talked last week about his remaining true to the vow that he made and how he instilled that adhering to a promise, adhering to a vow, he instilled that in his daughter, the keeping of his word that he made. And she, in turn, because of what was instilled in her, she honored the vow that her father made with her own life. And so today I want to focus on his making that vow. So it says in Judges chapter 11, verse 29, it says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah so that he passed through Gilead and Manasseh. Then he passed through Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead, he went on to the sons of Ammon. Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, 'If you will indeed give the sons of Ammon into my hand, then it shall be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the sons of Ammon, it shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering.'" And as I said last week, part of Jephthah's story and what he actually did with his daughter is a topic of debate. Okay? But once Jephthah responded to the king of Ammon, as it says, because he contacted the king of Ammon and he said, you know, why do you want to fight us? You know, why do you want to fight? And he basically, the king of Ammon said, well, you know, you took our land. And then Jephthah said, well, let me give you a history lesson. We didn't take your land. You know, you were defeated in battle. You know, God gave your land, gave the land to us. And so, when he gave that response back to the king of Ammon, king of Ammon just disregarded him. And it says then that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah so that he passed through Mizpah onto the sons of Ammon and made a request to God along with his vow to God. So Jephthah went from Mizpah, which is where he lived, and he went to the sons of Ammon, and he went there with the army. Okay, he went there with the people of Gilead. They were his army now, and he went from Mizpah, you know, to Ammon. He was going to war. Okay, and now some would say that upon seeing the Ammonites, that Jephthah became frightened, and that is why he made his vow. So Jephthah was described again in the first part of this chapter of Judges as a man that was valiant. He was a valiant warrior. He was a mighty man. He was a great leader. Now a man like this was ostracized by his own people, as I said at the beginning here, because his mother was a prostitute, and therefore he was seen as inferior. He was seen as unclean. She was seen as a sinner. Therefore, he was seen in a bad light also because of Mosaic law. Because his mother was not only a prostitute, she was also a foreigner. She was a Gentile. And therefore, she wasn't just a prostitute. She was a heathen prostitute. And so... But it says that Jephthah fled from the people of Gilead. You know, it said, you know, he ran. Here you have a valiant man that runs away. It says that in his time away from the people of Gilead, it says that worthless fellows gathered themselves around him and they went out with him. So he led them. Okay? He led these worthless people. You know, they were following him. He was leading them. And so he's leading a group of people that were described as worthless. But then when the people who rejected him pleaded for him to come back to help them with the Ammonites, suddenly he's no longer rejected. Now he's suddenly sought after. And now the people that were rejecting him, he's now leading them. And so you have all this that happens, okay, all that he's had to contend with here. And so when he goes out to face the Ammonites, he is suddenly leading a group of people into battle who rejected him. He may also still have these worthless men that were with him, these people of poor character, who, by the way, are not the best followers. And he's going to go into battle with this, you know. And then there's the question of the influences from his mother. Okay, again, she was a heathen prostitute. You know, as a heathen, you know, she had her own ways. Okay, and in other cultures, you know, they would make vows to their gods. If I offer a sacrifice, you will do this for me. Right? And so there are these other influences that he has going on also. And so it's you know, offer up a vow, you know, a vow of a sacrifice so that you will be you will give me victory in battle. So he has all these things going on with him, these possible influences and things like this. And so in the moment of seeing the Ammonites, he fears. And in a moment of fear, he makes a vow. Now, a vow is an agreement between two parties. You do this, and I'll do this. And so he makes a promise to God for God's help. Now, with all that God has done for him, he didn't need to make a promise to God. You know, and in fact, with all that God has done for him, he should have been encouraged. You know, God had given the king, he gave the king of Ammon a history lesson. And as he gave the king of Ammon the history lesson, he's basically talking to the king about what God did for the people of Israel. That should have encouraged him. Okay? And then God gave them that land. That should have encouraged him. You know, God established Jephthah. You know, he was rejected. Now the people that rejected him call him back and say, hey, not only lead us in battle, you know, be our ruler. You know, that should have encouraged him. But still, in spite of all these encouragements, he still felt the need to make a vow instead of just seeing God's favor and standing on God's covenant. You know, God is a covenant God. What God says he will do, period. God is a God of his word. We don't need to bargain with him. You know, God's a God of his word. If he says that he's going to do it, that's it. And so, but all this raises the question as to whether or not Jephthah was afraid. So he's suddenly leading an army. You know, he had led a group of worthless men. And who knows what leading a group of worthless men did to his confidence in going into battle, you know? This is how these worthless men did. You know, how is this going to go going into battle here? You know, these people that rejected me, now they're loyal to me. You know, we're going to go into battle with this? I would think this would be unsettling. And then you have, you know, possible influences from his mother. You know, you need to make an agreement with your God if you want victory. You know, and so he's going into battle with all of this, all these influences, all these things. And so here's the thing, though. Where else do we see great leaders that were fearful? Well, we see other ones in the book of Judges. You know, we see Gideon, for example. Gideon was a man that was very fearful. You know, an angel comes to Gideon, and he says this to Gideon when he shows up. He says, "Greetings, O valiant warrior." You know, this is the same phrase that is used with Jephthah. You know, a valiant man, a valiant warrior. You know, but here with Gideon, this is how God sees Gideon, and he calls out in Gideon what God sees in him. And God sees us in our potential. The problem is that we don't always see ourselves as God sees us. And so Gideon comes back with well, this is Israel's current situation. We're an oppressed people. And God says, but this is who you are, and this is what you're going to do. And Gideon responds with, I don't believe because of my current circumstances. We're an oppressed people. I'm too young. My family's not as good as the other families. Now, Gideon's response is not faith. See, our circumstances do not define who we are. But that's the problem, the mistake Gideon is making. Gideon is saying, my circumstances define who I am. And God's saying, no, they don't. See, faith is believing before we see it in the physical. So Gideon is not displaying faith here. So the angel tells Gideon what God's going to do with him, and that Israel will defeat Midian. That's who's oppressing them. And Gideon gives an offering to the angel. He takes his offering, he puts it on this rock, and then fire comes out of the rock where the offering was, and the angel vanishes. This incredible display, right? And then after that, God speaks to him. And God says, peace to you, do not fear, you will not die. Now, part of why God said that is because there was a belief back then that if you saw God, you died. And so God is, first of all, you know, saying, hey, Gideon, you saw me, you're not going to die. But in spite of this, Gideon is still afraid. He sees this angel shows up, they have this conversation, he puts his offering on this rock, this fire comes up, the angel disappears, and still Gideon is afraid. And then God tells him, he says, hey, I want you to go and tear down the idol that is in your town, your father's idol. It's in the middle of town. And I want you to tear it down, I want you to take the wood from it and make a sacrifice to me. Now he does it. He obeys, but he does it at night. Why? Because he's afraid. In spite of everything that has happened now, he is still afraid. Now God is true to his word though, because once he tears down this altar and offers up the sacrifice and the people in the morning get up and they see that their idol's been torn down, they wanted to kill Gideon. But they didn't, because Gideon's own father stands up for Gideon. Gideon tears down his father's idol and his father defends him to the people. Then, after this, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and people from the east assemble, and the Spirit of the Lord, it says, comes on Gideon. So he blows the trumpet to summon the people, and they come to him. And they come to fight with him. Now here's the thing. They were ready to kill him. Now all of a sudden they're following him. Does this sound familiar? We just see this with Jephthah. You know, they rejected him, and now they're going to follow him. Same kind of thing. Now you would think that would encourage him. You think that would encourage him. But it wasn't enough for him. He was still afraid. And so Gideon says, I need proof that what you said is true. That you're going to deliver Israel and you're going to use me to do it. I need proof. As if all this stuff wasn't enough, I need more proof. And so we have this story about the fleece, right? He puts this fleece out and he says, God, if I've heard you right, if you're going to deliver Israel and you're going to use me to do it, then I'm going to put this fleece on the ground and I'm going to come and check it in the morning. And in the morning, if the ground is dry but the fleece is wet with dew, then that'll be a sign. So in the morning, he gets up and he checks it and the fleece is soaking wet. I mean, he could pick that thing up and wring it out and fill a container with the water from it. That's how wet it was. But the ground was dry. Now, you think that would be enough, right? Nope. He says, we need to do this again. But this time, just to make double sure, let's make it to where the fleece is dry, but the ground is wet. So he gets up in the morning and he finds that the ground is wet and the fleece is dry. He's still afraid. Now, to make a long story short, God gives Gideon victory over the Amalekites and these other people that were with them, who were described as being as numerous as locusts. In other words, they covered the land. There was just so many of them. And Gideon is going out to fight them with 300 men. He had more, but then we have that story about God, you know, shrinking his numbers down. Why? So that God would get the glory. But God not only gives him victory, but God gives him victory by causing the enemy to turn on themselves. Now, this is when they surround that camp, and they have those pitchers with the torches, and they smash the pitchers, and they say, a sword for God and a sword for Gideon. And all of a sudden, the enemy just turns on themselves. There, chaos ensues, and they kill each other. These guys didn't even have to do anything. And then those that didn't die ran. And so Gideon and his 300 men chase them. You know, Gideon is not the only one that had a problem with fear in the book of Judges. There was Barak. Barak is mentioned with Gideon and Jephthah in Hebrews 11 as people who conquered by faith. Right? In chapter 4 of Judges, the judge here is actually Deborah, who was also a prophetess and a strong woman of God. And in this time, Israel is wrestling with the Canaanites who were oppressing them. And this is what happened throughout the book of Judges. You would have God's people would rebel, and so God would let another people group come and oppress them. And when the people got oppressed, then they would turn back to God. Then God would send a judge or a deliverer, and they would liberate them, and then they would be good for a while, and then they would turn away from God again, and they would rebel, and God would have another people group come in. And this would go on over and over and over again. And so at this time, you know, they've been having a problem with the Canaanites, and the Canaanites have been oppressing them for 20 years. So Deborah calls her general, okay? And her general's name was Barak. And it says this in Judges chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. It says, "Behold, the Lord, the God of Israel, has commanded, go and march to Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 men from the sons of Naphtali and from the sons of Zebulun, and I will draw out to you Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his many troops to the river Kishon, and I will give him into your hand." So Sisera had 900 iron chariots. So Barak's response to Deborah the prophetess, Deborah the judge for Israel, right, is, "I'll only go out if you go with me." He gets this word from the Lord. He gets it direct from the prophet. But he's afraid to go. So Deborah goes with him. And again, just as was prophesied, they defeat the Canaanites even though they had 900 chariots. But we see here people who were labeled valiant, people that were but they were fearful. And we see people who have the Spirit of the Lord on them. Again, when Jephthah goes out to war, the Spirit of the Lord was on him. But even though the Spirit of the Lord is on him, he makes this vow. But the vow was not necessary. Or we see, like with Gideon, they go out of times of in and out of fear. So the thing about it is that what do we take away from this for today? Okay? Well, here's the thing. Okay? In the Spirit, people can still do the wrong thing. In the Spirit, people can still do dumb things. Okay? Because we have... There's lots of different reasons for this. And one of them is, you know, we all have issues. Okay? We all have issues. Okay? Obviously, Gideon had issues. Obviously, Jephthah had issues. Okay? You know, maybe, you know, here you've got with these guys dealing with issues of rejection, issues of esteem and performance. You know? I mean, do people wrestle with these things today? Absolutely. You know, the Spirit doesn't go, oh, you've got issues, I'm not going to land on you. The Spirit doesn't do that. Because we've all got issues. God meets us where we are. He met Gideon where he was. Gideon was a fearful man. So these men, you know, they needed to look to what God had done. And that should have encouraged them. But they still have fear. You know, and do we not all have this same problem? When God asks us to do something, causes us to step out of our comfort zone. He says, I'll be with you and I'll help you, and He'll do things to encourage us. Do we not get fearful? See, when the Spirit comes on us and God is using us, there's a battle going on inside of us between the Spirit and what is in us. And so there's this battle between the flesh and the Spirit that's going on. And so you can be a leader, you can be a spiritually gifted person, you can be a highly anointed person walking in great power and be struggling at the same time. And you can be all that and not be where one should be in certain areas of their lives. Or we could blow it. But you know what? God will still use you. God will use you even though you blow it. God will use you irregardless of what's going on inside of you. You know, for one, God will use our mistakes. God has this wonderful ability to take whatever messes we're in, whatever messes we make, whatever state we're in, and God will use it for His glory. But the other thing is this, is we are all in a state of growing and developing. There is no one walking the planet that has arrived. You never fully arrive this side of heaven. You can get closer and closer to being Christ-like, but you will never arrive this side of heaven. Because you're always going to have this human, fleshly person to deal with. God knows that. If you're a leader or you hold a position or even if you don't, but feel that you have not done as well as you should, or you should have held up better. For example, in this time, people are struggling in this time. This time of pandemic and chaos and shutdown, there are people that are struggling. There are people struggling who lead. Who may be thinking, I should be doing better right now. And so they're beating up on themselves and they're putting a guilt trip on themselves. Or maybe they were doing that even before all this started. And so the thing about it is as though those feelings don't mean that we're a failure. Or in Jephthah's case, you know, when his people abandoned him, that didn't make him unworthy. Now, he may not have had to make the vow that he did, but he was still who he was. In regardless of all the stuff that he dealt with and contended with, he was still valiant. That's what the Bible says about him. He was valiant. And God still used him, irregardless of whatever his history may have been. God still used him and brought him victory. With Gideon, as we said before, you know, God broke the fear off him as he used him. Because we see that God would keep showing him these things and doing these things with him. But eventually, Gideon became a strong and bold man. After that fight with Midian, he wasn't the same person. He called him in his fear and used the calling to free him. He changed as he faced the challenges before him. And God used him in those things. After the battle with Midian, as I said, he wasn't the same. You know, and we see this because as they're pursuing the Midianites, there's this encounter that they have with the people of Succoth and the people of Peniel. They asked them for bread because they were tired and hungry from pursuing the Midianites, and the people wouldn't give it to them. And so he comes back after they get done chasing the Midianites, and he punishes those people. He wasn't the same person. He was bold. He was strong. Ephesians 6, verse 16, talks about that our shield of faith extinguishes the flaming missiles of the devil. And see, when we step out in faith... Faith is a weapon.
Amen.
Faith is a weapon. And what happens is the enemy's hold on us loses its power when we step out in faith.
Amen.
Because what happens is when we step out in faith, we actually experience the reality of what God says. We see this with Peter when Jesus tells him to get out of the boat and he walks on the water. He's actually walking on the water. So when Jesus asks him later, why did you doubt? It's like, why did you doubt? You were doing it. Why were you afraid? You're doing it. You know, years ago we had Bobby Connor come to our church. And he was with our church for a few days. Bobby Connor, if you don't know, is a powerful man of God. He has a tremendous prophetic ministry. And when he was with us, the presence of the Lord was strongly on our place. The Holy Spirit was released in great power on us, and it resulted in powerful manifestations of the Spirit that landed on a lot of the people. It was crazy with all that was happening, and some of you may have remembered that. But in the midst of the Spirit coming powerfully upon us, there were feelings of fear in that room, and there were people that as the Spirit was on them, they wanted to get away from it. Because I watched people do that. The Spirit was obviously on them, and they were trying to get away from them. While others were amazed and enjoying it. So when the Spirit comes on us, many different things can happen. It can empower us. It can strengthen us spiritually and emotionally. And He can confront those areas in us that He wants to change. And He will keep confronting Gideon's fear and using him in that fear until it changed him. Now Jephthah was valiant, but he was also human. And in the face of fear, he makes a vow that he didn't need to. See, God had been working in his life as we see, and that should have been enough to encourage him and to keep his faith and confidence up, but it didn't. And so rather than trusting God and receiving, he felt that he needed to do more. And so he makes his vow. Now, both men are mentioned in Hebrews as men of faith. And they were. But again, these characters in the Bible were also human. And God takes us where we are and works with us from there to make us better. But it's up to us to receive. Now, another thing that needs to be mentioned here is this. And that's warfare. Spiritual warfare. Okay? 1 Peter 5:8 talks about being sober of spirit and being on the alert because our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a hungry lion seeking someone to devour. And so the enemy will use fear and try to consume us with fear. Trying to get us where we are so consumed by it that it hinders us, it paralyzes us. You know, and that is, I see that so much now. In this time of chaos, this time where people are isolated. That's why doing something like this is so great.
Amen.
Because we're getting out and we're getting together.
Amen.
You know, we're finding a way to do it, right? But the thing about it is when we're isolated, it's easier to fall into fear because we're not with one another to encourage one another. That is a battle strategy. Isolate and conquer. when we talk about fear in terms of spiritual warfare, about it being an attack from the enemy, you know, is your fear unrealistic? You know, maybe for some, the fear you have isn't your own. You know, we've talked a lot about people being spiritually sensitive. Some people are picking up on the feelings of other people. And if they're not aware that is going on, that what you're picking up on is someone else for the purpose of praying for them. But sometimes we can get so caught up in what we're feeling that we don't stop to think that maybe this isn't mine. Especially if it's not characteristic of you. You know? And then, of course, there's worry. You know? And there has been so much worrying going on in this time also. You know, as well as picking up on others. And it's not just picking up on others. You know, there are those of us that are picking up on everything. You know, I fall in that camp. You know, I feel what's going on out there. I feel it. And what clued me into that wasn't mine is that all of us, this was new. And as I talked with people, because again, it's important to not be isolated. As I talked with other people that are spiritually sensitive, other people were going through the same thing. And I went, okay. See, we need that. We need that. So, Psalm 34:8 says, talks about, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. And so, in this time that we're in, okay, just like with these guys, it's important that in faith that we step out. Because faith is built. Okay, if you want to grow in your faith, you've got to walk in faith. And God will give you opportunities to do that. Among other things, it is to grow your faith. And that's what these men did. God says, hey, there is where you are, there's where you've come out of, there's all of this, but I want to grow you. I want to take you where you are, faithful, rejected, all of that, and I want to grow you into being much more because I see it in you. And God sees this in each and every one of us. God can look at every one of us and say, greetings, valiant warrior. And God is working in us to bring that out in us. But it's covered over with all these other things that are not supposed to be a part of us that life has put on us. You know, we don't have to let fear hold us back.
Amen.
You know, one of the definitions of courage is being afraid and going forward anyway. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's not letting fear hold you back. Now, this time that we're in, and I'm kind of head to our close with this, is that there's a lot of things going on in this time that we're in. Okay? There's been prophetic words that have gone out about 2020. Okay? One of them is that 2020 would be a time of God clearing things away. Now, clearing away can have a lot of applications to it. Okay? But I would say that there has been a clearing away with the pandemic. There are things that were set up that are now not there. You know, we have the agenda over children's sexual identity in the schools. That's not happening now. Okay? We had things that the church competed with on Sunday morning. Those are gone. I mean, there are things that have been cleared away. But again, this has many applications, you know, in this time. You know, people have been removed, positions have been removed, practices have been removed, programs have been removed, hindrances have been removed. There have been all these things that have been removed, a clearing away. But the clearing away was so that there can be an establishing. Okay? And so, now, some would say that what we're going through now, which has been labeled as the new normal, okay, a new way of doing things, to be honest, I don't think what we're experiencing is that yet. I think the time we're in right now is a transition time. I think we're transitioning into what the new normal will be. This time we're in right now is a transition. Okay? The other thing that's happening in this time is there's exposing going on. God is doing many things in this time, and it's happening with everyone. And it's happening not only with people individually, but it's happening on a global scale. I mean, God is individually exposing and revealing things in people. God is clearing things away. God is establishing with everyone individually where we are as we are, but at the same time, He is moving globally. We've never seen anything like this. This is unprecedented. Okay? We do see it in the Bible, though. You know, we could talk about Noah. You know, for example. Something that happened on a global scale. Things were cleared away, and new things were established. But here's the thing. In this time, some of you, many of you, are in a process right now. This time has put us all in a process. And it's unlike anything other that we've been through because of the conditions. But here's the thing too, and this is the thing, whether we talk about Jephthah or Gideon, is that or even Barak, is that these people were all in a process. And when we are in a process, it's hard because we don't see the way out because we're in it. We don't fully understand what's going on because we're in it. After we move through it and we look on this side of it, then we go, okay, now I understand. But when you're in it, you don't have that perspective. And so in that perspective, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to beat up on ourselves and condemn ourselves because of the struggles, because of our struggling. And we say to ourselves, you know, I should be better right now. I should be handling this better. I should have responded differently. You're in a process. Give yourself a break.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But learn the lessons of the process. See the process. See the lessons of the process and heed the things in the process. Like Gideon did. And Gideon grew from it. Unlike Jephthah, who... what had been normal for him, being rejected, being under the influence of his mom, possibly, you know, he brought his normal into a new time. You know, he went into a time of being rejected to a time now he was leading. And that was a new time. But the thing about it is, when we bring our old normal into a new time, it may leave regrets. And although Jephthah was a man of his word, and he taught his daughter to be a person of his word, there was still a regret. But God still used him. Even though he made that vow that he didn't need to make, God still used him. But he had regrets. The thing about it is, irregardless of our regrets, irregardless of the foolish things that we do, God still uses us. It doesn't disqualify us. God brought him to victory. We are 4 months in this thing now, this pandemic thing. We're 4 months in it now. It's gone, and in this time, it goes up, it goes down, it's on, it's off, it's open, it's closed. It just constantly changes. It's chaotic. I was looking at the stories last night. I walked away and said, it's nuts. It's crazy. When this started, no one expected this thing to go 4 months. But I'll tell you this. If it had ended too quickly, we would have just gone right back to the way we were before this thing started.
That's true.
Because we love our old ways. The longer that this goes on, the more we will be detached from the old. Because the old does not belong in the new. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 2, verse 21. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. And the reason is because with the fermentation process and all of that, new wine will stretch a wineskin. New wineskins have the ability to expand. An old wineskin, it's already stretched out. You pour new wine in it, it's going to burst it. I really do believe that this whole time we're in will end when we get it. I think that what God is trying to do is trying to separate us from our old cloth, from our old wineskins. Whether those old things are in us, they're in our ways, they're in our things, the things that we do, even our ministries. We talked in the Bible study about ministries being an idol. You know, maybe we got old things in our ministries that need to change, or things outside of ministry. You know, whatever it is, I think it's with everything, both inside of us and outside of us. I think God is really serious. Again, we have never seen anything like what we're seeing now. The entire world all at once at the same time. Now, God didn't cause it, but He's sure using it and He's sure working it. The question I leave all of you with is this: have you got it yet? Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You are working and moving in us. God, I thank You for the examples that we have from Your Word that we can make mistakes. We can be fearful. And our shortcomings do not disqualify us. Lord, I thank You that You work and move in us to draw the best out of us. So we can walk in that. That You see those qualities in us before we see them in ourselves. I thank You because You put them there. You have created us and positioned us all to be great in Your kingdom. Father, I just pray that You would give us the eyes to see what You're doing, not only in the world so that we can be encouraged and encourage others, but that You would show us, Lord, what You're doing in us so that we can cooperate with You and we can come out of this time like Gideon, better than we went into it. Father, I thank You for what You're doing. And I thank You that in the midst of all this craziness, You're still God. You're still on Your throne and You're still in control. Lord, just continue to be working and moving in us. And I thank You for Your faithfulness. And I pray all this in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, before you go, I have two things. First of all, let me read the questions to you that I put on the our COG list. And these are for your personal reflection. The first question is this: have you ever done something in ministry that you regretted doing? What was it? What did you learn from the experience? What would you do differently now? And what have you actually done differently now as a result of that experience? Next, what are your old patches? What are your old wineskins that you need to discard in this time? And you need to discard for that which is coming. And then lastly, with all that God is doing on the scale that He's doing it in our world, have you gotten it yet? And have you gotten it for yourself? So those are questions for you to reflect on. Give us a couple of minutes to get set up here. We're going to do one other thing before we're done for today. I'm going to have a brief couple of minutes with Frank and Tony. And this is just to kind of getting to know your church family. And so we're just going to talk for a minute. I gave them some questions, and we're going to talk about those questions just for a minute so that you can kind of get to know them a little bit. And so, you know, it's kind of like trying to connect with one another as best we can with kind of what we have to deal with. So give us a minute, and we'll be back in a minute. So God bless you. Hi again, everybody. I'm with Tony and Frank, and I just want to talk with them for a minute and give us an opportunity for you to get to know them a little bit better. And so I'm going to ask them a couple of questions, and we're just going to kind of talk here. So my first question is this: is what do you do for a living?
I breathe. No. What do you do?
Nothing.
He's retired.
He's retired, yeah.
And I work for a company that does freight forwarding to Hawaii.
Okay.
So, what are some things you do in your time that you're retired now?
Whatever she tells me to do.
I wish.
It's called a honey-do list.
Well, I know you like, you work at the food pantry, you help out there.
Sulphur Creek. When they open back up.
Yeah. Why don't you, can you talk a little bit about what you do at Sulphur Creek?
I feed all kinds of critters, birds, and mammals. Was feeding a bat for about a year and a half, but then it finally passed away.
He got all of his rabies shots, too.
Yeah, I got rabies shots so I can deal with the bats and
the skunk.
Sid the skunk, my little buddy. Fed all the raptors, red-tailed hawks, gray horned owls.
The eagle.
Oh, then I finished off with Solomon the golden eagle.
Oh, wow.
He was cool. We had a little game.
Yes, he does.
So, why did you, how did you end up getting in the job you're in?
I love Hawaii.
You love Hawaii.
Yep, and I tracked him down. I said, okay, I want to work for a Hawaiian company. I did. I said.
So you don't like, you know, go to Hawaii every day for work?
No, unfortunately, no.
Okay. Okay. The things that you guys are both doing, do you enjoy doing those things?
I like my work.
What is it about the things you do that you like? What is it makes them enjoyable for you?
Gardening, animals.
Yeah, we love. We sit out here every day and just enjoy our backyard.
Okay. How long have you lived here in this house?
Almost 40 years.
40 mm-hmm. years? Wow.
Almost in this house, almost 40 years.
What's your favorite thing about living in this house?
We don't have any back neighbors. We can have chickens, as you guys know. it's paid for. Thank you, Jesus.
Enough space here.
Yeah.
There's space. Yeah. I was going to ask you, what is it about this place that makes it home for you? Because, you know, there's a difference between having a house and having a home.
Right.
And so what is it that makes this home for you?
We could do anything we want.
It's full of animals.
It's a work in progress, kind of like your message. Our house is a continual work in progress. As you have an older house, you've got to do continuous work. Mm-hmm. So it is what it is. Mm.
So you mentioned the animals. So what are all the different animals that you have?
Well, you heard the chickens. And we have Chelsea. And we have four cats. Come here, Chelsea.
And what else is in the garage?
Nothing.
Hi, Jeff.
Ciao.
So of all the animals that you have, which animal best represents you?
Wow. You made these questions for us. I would say partly the dog, because she's centered, she's content, she's doesn't take much to make her happy. I would say, what do you think?
For me, it'd probably just be all my little wild birds that I feed every day. Mm-hmm. All my little free souls that come and go as they please, and they expect me to feed them every day. They're waiting. Dude.
Wow. Okay. So, what's the craziest thing you two have ever done?
I don't know if that's going to be appropriate.
Could it be snorkeling?
Yeah, snorkeling.
And then being probably quarter mile out, and then we pop our heads up, and it's like we are part of the food chain now.
We are way out. Where the sharks are.
Water.
Yeah, that was pretty
crazy. Shark-infested water?
Oh, yeah.
Because here was the little buoys that you can't go beyond, and we were way beyond. Like, going, oh, you could just...
It was a channel.
You get caught.
Coral,
and we
kind of just got zoned out, and we just kept going.
We got to hear the whale singing. That was pretty cool. Yeah. We both popped our heads, and we looked at each other. I said, did you hear that? He's going... Yeah, it was the whale singing. We can even hear the whales under the water.
Mm. Let's get back to the beach.
We got to go in further.
Okay, last question. What is it that you would like your church family to know about you?
Don't be afraid to have this here. Don't be afraid. Don't think that you've got to do anything wild and crazy to host the message. Don't think that you've got to redo your house or anything. Just don't be afraid to do that. Invite people in. And don't let the pandemic scare you. That's a big thing. And, you know, we feel blessed. We really do. We feel blessed that we could just have folks over amongst. It doesn't matter. You know, we don't have the perfect house. We don't have, you know. But it doesn't matter. Just have family over. And this is family. That's key. Don't be afraid. Just do it. Right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, is I just want all church family to know that I love you all. I miss you all. I can't wait to hug you all again.
It's a hugger, man.
I just miss you all. I really do.
Well, I want to thank you for hosting us today. And it's been a pleasure being here. And it's a pleasure, you know, I mean, having known you and being hugged by you. And so let me pray for you, and then we'll be done here. So,
okay.
So Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the time with Frank and Tony. I thank you, Lord, for their hospitality, Lord, and opening up their home to us, Father. Lord, I just pray that your richest blessings, Lord, would just fall on them and would fall on their house, Father. I pray that you would just bless them, you know, in their home here and as they go out and about and do all the things that they do, Father, that you continue to guide them and direct them. Father, I pray that you'd open doors, create opportunities, and grant favor for them, Lord, in the things that they do, but also, Lord, in their being a witness of you. Father, I pray that your light would shine through them in all that they do and everywhere that they go. Just bless them and keep them safe, Father. And I just pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week.